Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
This is News for the Heart. Today I have David Watson, who is a deep trance channeler, a life strategist, and, you do it all, really. But it's,
all around good guy, that's what I like
to
say. You know,
in the alternative health and channeling, and it's kind of cool what you can do. So I know you've helped me, and I know you can help a lot of other people. Today we're going to talk about, we're going to look at love, maybe in a way that, you know, how... Well, let's to help people understand, because, you know, there's some neat things happening, like Jupiter's going into Leo, and when Jupiter goes into Leo, it kind of is this nice, fun energy. But, you know, it's summer, everybody thinks about love, so we're going to look at applying the power of love in life. And I'm sure we'll bring the Willows on at some point, probably at our first break.
Or maybe the second one, who knows?
So that we can chat all about that. So... All right. Why don't you start with your thoughts on the power of love in life?
Well, my feeling about love itself is, there's so many different definitions of the word love. You know, kid wants to be loved. That means they want to be protected. A woman wants to be loved. She wants to be respected. You know, a guy wants to be loved. Well, you know what we're after. You know, it's that kind of thing. You know, like and those are just the external representations of love. Right. Then, of course, you know, there's a love our neighbor. You know. And so on. I mean, this is what our Judeo-Christian belief system has brought up. Yet, you know, our society certainly doesn't reflect that, you know, that calm and warm and fuzzy love that we're supposed to be exuding all the time. And I think the main reason for that is because the real basis of love is not just love of Creator, but love of oneself. Because when one loves oneself, one loves one's Creator. One loves the other people who are here on this plane. So I think the true base of love is self-love. And I'm not talking about selfless love. I'm not talking about narcissistic love. I'm talking about self-love. In other words, being able to look ourselves in the eye in the mirror and say, I really love you. You're an incredible person. You've got a wonderful energy, and I see the goodness within you. And that takes a lot to do when we look at ourselves, because we're so conditioned and so taught by, you know, our families and friends and the world around us, you know, the media that we're constantly having streaming into us. And most of us have learned to be rather self-effacing. You know, we're self-critical. We don't really take ourselves seriously. We push compliments away. We have a tendency to really not give ourselves that hug that we need at the end of our day. And we have a tendency to feel that we have to get it from somebody else or someplace else or something else. And, you know, I think that's kind of over the top, as far as I'm concerned. I think it's an excuse that we hold within ourselves for not loving ourselves, because quite often the kind of love that most people like to think about is selfless love. You know, you meet these people; they're always giving to people, and I'm certain in that category. But you know, when we're giving to people to the exclusion of our own loving needs for ourselves, then we begin to, you know, run out of gas. We begin to feel tired. We begin to feel drained. And sometimes we even accuse other people of stealing our energy. But what we're doing is we're handing it away wholesale, and we're not expecting or even willing to receive that love back that we put out. You know, that's my feeling. We're hoping that somebody else is going to love us, but most of us will always say, or will say at some point or other, you know, it's not the kind of love that I really need. And that, to me, is why there's so many problems with relationships and that sort of things these days, because, you know, we're looking for something from somebody else that, you know, we should be finding within ourselves. That's my thought. And my favorite quote about this is from my friend Cliff Preston and his channel group, The Echoes, and it's very simple, and it's just, love is the only answer, no matter the question. And I think that's the essence there. So the answer to life and to the things that we really want to have in life is that love. And that love starts inside. So, you know, like that song, you know, the greatest love of all is the love that we can find in ourselves for ourselves. And then it's so easy to give it to other people because it's like we hit the mother lode when we find that one, you know, and it's so easy to be loving and caring and generous to the, those people around us without feeling drained.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, that was a lot in there. I have responses to, I mean, when you said the whole, you know, look into the mirror, I don't even know that I could do that. I mean, I could do it, but I don't know that I would actually feel it or have,
Here's a secret. Here's a secret. When you're looking at yourself, okay, you got your right eye looking back at you, you know. Look right into the right eye. That's on the left side, folks. Look right into that side and with both of your eyes. And that way it's easier to say things to yourself. Okay. Well, and to other people, too, by the way, if you've ever have trouble meeting people eye to eye.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good way of working into yourself. Because after a while, you're going to peek over and look at the other eye as well. So then you're looking at yourself anyway. But I think, you know, if you're just looking at one eye and make it look as if you're really looking at yourself, what you might use is that one eye is kind of like that little wormhole to get into your inner self and into your inner lightness and your inner love, you know.
You know, I was given an exercise once by someone who was one of my co-hosts. And they sort of suggested that I set up an altar and I use a photo of myself and I do honorings to myself and get, you know, use all the elements like a candle and some flowers and some water and, you know, just really put your heart into it and do it every day for a month. And I did that and I would feel really good.
But?
No, there was no but. It wasn't a but. I don't know that it necessarily, like, I don't, you know, I found it like a chore. I mean, once I would do it, it would be okay, you know.
Well, that's the thing about rituals.
About it. Yeah, you know? I know.
So I'm not suggesting a ritual where you get up every morning and you, like, eyeball yourself for half an hour just sending love to yourself. I think that's a little much. But what I'm saying is from time to time, if you catch yourself in a mirror instead of looking away, look at yourself.
Yeah.
And just go,
without being critical,
I love you in this moment. Well, you know, I think a lot of the reason we have difficulty loving ourselves is because we don't think we're good enough, that we've accomplished enough, or we know enough, or we do enough, you know. And I really think that part of ourselves is something we have to start. If we really love ourselves, the thing we should be saying to ourselves is, "I am enough for me. I am enough for me." And the moment you say that to yourself, bam, you can start loving yourself right away, because when you're enough, you're not sitting there with, like, expectation. Like, you got kids. You want them to do things, and you want to push them to do things. That's a lot of us do. And we'll say, but I love you, you know, because I love you. I'm telling you this because I love you. Well, you're really telling it to the kids because not so much you love them as you want to see them successful, and you love to see them being successful. Mm-hmm. But if you really love them, you know, you'd be saying to them, here's how you love yourself. And if you really love yourself, you'll be able to find the thing within yourself, that feeling and that understanding inside of yourself, that you're going to be able to accomplish the things that you're setting out to do. And I'm 100% behind that.
Right.
You know, so it's just a slight twist in our perspective and a slight twist in our communication. That's my feeling about that love thing. And, you know, like discussing it as we are too, it's all intellectual, you know.
Yeah.
So how do we get from here to here? Well, there's lots of ways we can do that. But I think the first way is to kind of like defeat those negative self-loathing beliefs we hold about ourselves that we've been taught by others, basically to control us, you know. I mean, how many of us respond, instead of to love, we respond to shame and guilt far more effectively than love, you know.
I think we get caught up in, you know, everything that we were told as children, and we all know that. We all know that our beliefs have been already structured by the time we are seven.
Yep.
And
I say three, but, you know.
You know, well.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, so we go through our whole life trying to repattern ourselves from, you know, what we heard as children, what we believed as children, you know, our own worth, which, you know, we don't value children. You know, we may love them, we may think they're cute, we may want to play with them, but we don't really value them. We don't see that they're this incredible soul that has, if not as much, possibly even more these days than what we hold. And, you know, each generation is always growing and evolving, and we don't see that. And then when we look at romantic love, I mean, all we have are, you know, romantic comedies and, you know, our children's stories and stuff of, you know, which always ends at either getting married or, you know, and always has that happily ever after, but we only see the first part, which is a very minimal part of most relationships. It's all the problems that come before they make the commitment. We rarely see, you know, what happens when you're in the commitment. But the thing that we don't even want to see is that when we fall in love, we're really falling in love with the picture that other person has of us. Like, we're falling in love with what we project to them that comes back to us, that we want that other person to be, but really it's our own reflection, it's our own mirror.
So that's right. So so what we're really doing is we're projecting onto the other person the love that we are expecting them to give us. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Or what we, you know, when it's like at the beginning of falling in love and, you know, everything's perfect and you believe that they are projecting to you every value you've ever wanted. But it's our projection of that value.
Jung had a lot to say about that, didn't he now?
But it's our own projection of it. It's not it's our own projection of us.
Like, of course.
It's our own
It's
everything we want and everything of our own design.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, when it comes to love, it has nothing to do with the
other person. Expectations.
Yeah, or our beliefs or our ultimate, you know, because that's what people say is, well, when we first started going out, you saw me this way. And it's like, well, no, they didn't see you that way. You saw you that way. Like,
okay.
Right? It's our own way that we've sort of projected them to see us.
Sure. Well, no, I am completely in agreement with you about that, you know, completely, because it's about projection.
Yeah.
And I always say the same thing. When I do one-on-one counseling with couples and that sort of thing, I say, they're not the same person that I first met. And I ask always the same question. I say, so who are they then? You know, and the other person goes, well, I didn't change. And they both say that.
Yeah.
And they realize that, in fact, we all change. You cannot not change. But in actual fact, what they didn't change was their basic perspective of who they were. What happened is the basic perspective they changed was the perspective they had of the other person. That's what changes. Right? And that's what evolves.
And they stop seeing themselves in the other person's eyes. Like, they stop seeing that thing that they thought they saw, which wasn't really them.
So that's why I say, you know, if we work on focusing on loving ourselves, trusting ourselves, approving ourselves, then we're going to be into a place where when we see somebody else, we love that part within them. That same part that we hold within ourselves, that core essence, that spirit, that energy, and we recognize it in another person, and we can love that part of that humanness, that clarity, I think that perfect core of us that's a reflection of creative energy itself.
See, and I have two. My belief is, I know that there are other beliefs that is the exact opposite, but my belief is when you are, you know, wanting to create that list for the universe of the qualities that you're wanting, that you actually look at your own qualities, that you look at the things that will match you and match your energy and the things that are of value to you and the things that are so important to what you believe, what you desire, what you want, like all those things. Like, yes, we can look at all the other relationships, but the other flip side of that is that people say that the person comes to balance us and that we are to look at the things that we have and then bring in the qualities that will assist us to become more balanced. And I, you know, I think the opposite attract thing, that used to work, and I think it was necessary to work because I really think we needed to find that balance. But I'm not sure that that's the case anymore. I'm not sure that we need opposites to balance us out. I think we just need to come into that space of knowing one that we're enough, that we don't need somebody to make us whole.
No, we don't. Well, this is self-approval, you know.
Yeah.
And this is a very important part of our of our evolution as human beings, I believe. You know, I really, you know, having been through one or two relationships in my life, I've come to the conclusion that, you know, anything that went wrong in the relationship was pretty much a misconception on my behalf. You know, and I'm not taking the entire responsibility because there were misconceptions on the behalf of my ex-partners sure. as well. But, you know, as time goes on, we come to understand it and we talk to each other and, you know, remain on a friendly basis, but no longer in relationship. That's what's happened to me in my life. Not with everybody. There's one or two of them that kind of went hiding. But the fact of the matter is, the majority of them, I don't mean hundreds. Sorry, folks. I don't mean to imply some kind of a Lothario. But, you know, for the few relationships I've had in my life.
A few thousand that you had?
Yeah, yeah. a few thousand. You know, who has time, you know? But for the few that I did participate in, there were three major ones, and in all cases, it was my anticipation of what was, you know, my expectations that were in fact not met, you know, and that's why I think that if you want to talk about personal love and that kind of thing, that's when I learned that I had to turn back onto myself and learn to love and appreciate who I am, and that way, I don't have any expectations of what somebody else is supposed to be thinking or doing with me. The people I'm very fortunate to have in my life and that I do love as human beings are all my friends. Mm-hmm. So you know what? My grandmother said it many years ago, God bless her. And she said, you know, talking about her lifetime relationship with my grandfather, they married when they were 22, and they were together for 55 years before he passed away. And she lived another, you know, 11 or 12 years after that. And she said, you know, about your grandfather, she says, he wasn't always the easiest person in the world to get along with. I can vouch to that. But she said, and there were times I didn't feel like I loved him. She says, but, you know, the reason we got along is because we liked each other. Mm. We liked who the other person was, and we liked who we were when we were with that person. And there was a feeling of being backed up. It's, you know, and we have this tendency because, as you were saying, with the media and all the things that were projected with, and the stuff I grew up with, and maybe later you, being like a generation apart, but understanding the nature of that, all the songs I grew up with was like Teen Angel and, you know, yeah. all that kind of stuff. Oh, the you know, yeah. the emotional,
romantic
how, and how important somebody else's love was to validate us.
The tragedy.
That's right. You know, it was great. It was great. You know, and I remember, you know, The Graduate when I was 17 or 18 years old when that came out and watching that and having all kinds of.
I'm really hoping for a Mrs. Robinson in your life.
Well, not, I wasn't looking for a Mrs. Robinson, actually. I was kind of looking for, you know, an Elaine, you know, but the fact of the matter was they don't exist in that format. That's what movies are about. I find most of the Hollywood, you know, stuff that's written is written by people who wish that's the way it was, you know. Well, not that's the way
there's
it is.
Not a, there's not
or
a
it should
lot
be
of...
this way. You know?
There's not a lot of money in, well, actually, there is a lot of money in real life TV, but
there is now. Yeah.
There certainly is now, but when people want to go be entertained, they don't want to see. I guess they don't want to see their own life.
Well, I guess in that way, but
the problem with that is that we get confused and we think that that's the way it's supposed mm-hmm. to be, and that's what we're looking for, and that's why, you know, people. It's just so easy. Like, there'll always be somebody else. There'll always be somebody mm-hmm. better. Mm-hmm. It's the commitment and the respect and, mm-hmm. you know, your desire to actually step into something and say, yeah, I'm in this, instead of, you know, sitting on the fence, which I find, you know, a lot of people do. They sit on the fence. They don't make a decision. Yeah. They keep thinking there might be something else there. They, you know, they get addicted to the dating scene. And
well,
then there's
the
more
dating,
people.
Not just the dating scene. I mean, if you're out dating a lot of people, you know, you get addicted to the rush that you get from meeting somebody for the first time. There's an excitement and anticipation and a hopefulness that comes with it. And, of course, you're out there for 5 minutes and, oh, that isn't what I wanted. That isn't what I wanted. I tried that
online dating
mm-hmm. stuff. And to be honest, it's nice. There's some lovely people out there that I've met and I had the honor to connect with. Yet at the same time, there were a lot of people who were extraordinarily desperate, as if they couldn't live without somebody else. And you know, my feeling is in life that, you know, I have to learn to live without anybody else to learn to live with anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been my understanding. Because once I can get used to myself and feel happy in my own skin and be pleased with who I am, and not in a narcissistic way at all, you know. No, not like that at all. But in reality, wow. You know, the feeling that we have that need and that anticipation of who we are. And what I love in myself is not my physical self. I love in myself my total self, which is my spirit, my energy, my physical being, and my intellect. Those are the things I give gratitude for every day. Those are the things I feel love for. You know, and I feel love for my health, and I feel love for those around me who are helping buoy me up and you know, agree with what I say, and things like that. But I do, and I think those are the people that we should collect about us, not in a delusional way, but in a positive way, where we begin to feel that who we are is important, and that's where the bigger picture of love, because you know, you talk about love, it always turns around between two people, but you know. I happen to have a lovely dog who I love very much. I happen to have a mother who I love very much. I have sisters and they're fellas who I love very much. And it goes on like that. And it goes out into the world. I have many close friends I love very much. I love you very much. You're a great human being, you know, and it's an honor to know you and with what I know you do in life and how you share with others and help uplift their spirit. That to me is a real love, because that love is a reflection of creation. You know, we talk about the law of attraction and things like that. The real law of attraction is love. You know, it's what brings things together. We talk about, well, what does love mean? Oh, it's a resonance, a certain resonance, you know. Okay, well, that's fine. A resonance between what? When we start looking at the string theory, we realize that the resonance starts on the subatomic level, where we have this idea of no particles, but little things just resonating. We're not sure what those are yet. We're working on them, but they resonate together, and they resonate, and they're attracted to each other, and they build the building blocks of what we consider to be reality on this planet, which includes the atomic structure of everything around us, including us. So if all of that is brought together by that resonance, I call that universal love. Love is an attractive force. It's the glue that binds our life together. That's how I look at it.
All right. Oof. Yo. That was a lot for the first segment, but we need to go on a break.
And we're just getting started.
I think this is a conversation that could probably do several shows. You are listening.
This is the Love Channel.
That's it. News for the Heart. You're listening to News for the Heart. I have David Watson. If you want to know more about David, go to his website, askthewillows.com. All right, we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on BeMajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685, and I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced, and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better, why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with BeMajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions, or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at BeMajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. We are getting to the heart of what matters. We've been talking about love and the power of love in our life. And we did after much debate decide to bring the Willows into the conversation. We're going to talk about universal love. If you want more information about David or the Willows, go to askthewillows.com, askthewillows.com. All right, so welcome.
Indeed, we greet you and those who are listening. It is an honor.
All right, so let's talk about universal love and what that means from your perspective. Group's perspective.
Well, in actual fact, that which you would call universal love is that which we would refer the glue that binds together the universe itself. It is of an energy here that is of the natural basis of all life. Some people call this energy God energy. They would call it a Christ consciousness or a Buddha consciousness.
Is that agape?
You could call it agape as well, if you wish.
Okay.
There are many names for it from many different perspectives and many different religious philosophies. But it is all accepting a singular creative force that, in fact, makes the world go round, so to speak. In fact, makes the universe go around in this way, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So that what you would call the greater love is the love of the cosmos, you see. Not just suns and planets, giant gas clouds, and the comings and goings of physical beingness in the universe as it is, but it is also that which is binding it together as well. It is a singular concept that takes in all levels of knowingness, including many dimensions. Many people speak here of coming from this dimension or that dimension, and there being 30 or 40 or who knows how many dimensions. However many dimensions there are, however many universes there are, however many planets or suns or stars there may be, it does not matter, because it is all contained within a singular wholeness, which is what love is a representation of. It is an all-inclusive emotional reflection of creation itself. You would not experience it as the highest emotion that you could hold as a being on this level if it were not true. When you look at other creatures on this planet, other mammals, for example, they are with each other. That be here of there be of a knowingness and a connectiveness between similar species. Yes, for example, certain birds will mate for life. Many different mammals mate for life. They back each other up. They raise their young. There is a great affection that they hold for each other that binds them together, not just for survival purposes, but to help raise their level of consciousness. For all creation is in a state of becoming, you see, and in a state of beingness. And in this way here, you would see, for example, your little kitty cat, yes? It is hard not to know that this one will just sit in your lap and exude this wonderful, beautiful, loving energy into whoever chooses to pick him up.
Pretty much.
And that is because he is completely in tune with his own self. You see, there is no intellect, you see, no ego to get in the way. It is just love. And all those who would own small pets would understand the same thing. And no matter what you do to them, whether you beat them, whether you neglect them, whether you forget to feed them, no matter what you do, they are still dedicated to you, and they are still dedicated in love to who you are. It is a remarkable experience, and it is something that's very important to understand as the very basis for all that binds you on this dimension, in this planet, on this plane, together. Now, we're specific in that way because we would let you know that there are other parts of your universe where love is expressed in a different way. In example, even on your own planet, you would say, well, then I guess insects don't love each other. Praying mantises and black widow spiders eat their mates after they mate, you see. There are some humans who might say, that's what happened to me, too, you see, we say with a smile. But in truth here, these are energies that are still in a state of vibrational existence. they're not in a conscious state, but they are rather in a reactive state and a behavioral state that is part of maintaining the larger vibrational value of the being on the physical plane. Every creature on the face of the earth, every microbe, has a purpose in its being and has an equal right to existence in the same way. Yet there has been an agreement, an invisible agreement, between all different forms of life to interact in a way in which it becomes all self-sustaining. The native people of North America speak of the deer people who gave of themselves during the last ice age so that man could continue to survive, because before that time it was believed that man was largely vegetarian. But when the crops froze over, they believe the deer people sacrificed themselves in order for man to continue to exist. So it is interesting how these interactions are perceived, but very much intuitively perceived in a very higher basis here, that be of a vibrational level of consciousness that is very clear and present when one begins to determine the life cycle as one would look about. So if indeed you would say, does my dog love me? We would say, of course your dog loves you. You are its beginning and end. You will never have a clearer, more faithful, or more clear love than you will get from a pet. That is why so many people enjoy their animals, because these animals give that which is just effortless love. You see? There is no thought to it. There is just love. And they bond in this way. All, too, that you would be able to express that on the physical plane. Now, all spirit, as you would have it, is created from love. For all that comes from the invisible comes from the very core of love. And the love that you were thinking of, it is very difficult to apply to the living process, because mostly people who live in this world in which you are in are looking for love, but are still not finding it. Hence so many songs written about it, looking for love in all the wrong places, for example. But these words here are indicating here the truth. For the truest love is always contained within, and not just contained within yourself as an individual, but contained within your consciousness, which is connected to the larger consciousness of existence. This can come to you through meditation or guided visualization, or prayer. There are many ways to achieve this state of consciousness, but once you enter into it and you rise yourself above the physical vibrational plane, you automatically step into the universal love. That is why so many people who pray will find that Jesus will come to them, or in some cases Sai Baba. Some people still believe he comes to them. Other people can see Krishna or Vishnu. Other people can see Mother Mary. Other people can experience Allah. You see, it is these aspects here of consciousness that the human mind requires a visualization, a representation of this larger love energy, so it appears to them in a format that is acceptable to them, where they can accept something that is of a higher energy that they are made out of nevertheless, thereby associating with this higher vibrational energy of love and associating it with themselves to realize they are in the same vibrational category and energy, you see? So when you are bringing this kind of love in to yourself, many people would say on this plane here, you are truly a spiritual being on a physical journey. This is not an uncommon statement in this day and age in which you are living, and it is a very perceptive one. Because when you come onto this plane into physical body, you bring with you universal love. But when you come onto this plane, you come into the world of duality, where there is resistance. The moment that you are pure love hits resistance, it begins to fragment and becomes the emotional spectrum, as you would understand it. So that is everything from love on the physical plane to fear, hatred, and certainly shame, which is the lowest of all the emotions, you see. And these are the emotions that are coming from love. But when you trace any one of these emotions back, and many people who are doing psychotherapy and other associated work will tell you this is the truth, that any emotion that you are looking at has its basis in pure love. Sometimes it's the antithesis of pure love, but nevertheless it could not exist without pure love. And if you follow that thread back through the consciousness, through the experience of the individual, it will always go back into a place of pure love, where the person is healed of their emotional stresses by going back into source again. So it's important to realize that individuals can go back into source as well, you see, to enter into that state where they are going to have the ability to connect with that higher vibrational consciousness of universal love, which is basically like plugging into the mother load, you see?
Right.
Where one can charge one's batteries, where one can get back into the flow and feel that love moving through you at all times. So this love here, as we are speaking of, is not the love of another. It's not the love of yourself. It's not the love of your life. It is that which is, that which binds all together to create reality as you would know it, which is based on, painted upon, created from a love itself. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So this is how we perceive this regarding this loving feelings and thoughts. Is this making sense here?
Oh, totally. I guess my question would be, are there any techniques or anything that you might recommend for people to connect in with their own essence and that own, you know, purity of love so that they can stop trying to get it mirrored back to them from someone else, but actually feel it within themselves?
Well, it comes with self-respect, because love is a part of respect, yes?
Yeah, okay.
And,
but we're our worst critics, so...
absolutely, and this is the biggest...
me more than anybody, but yes.
...difficult aspect of consciousness is the fact that the individual has a tendency to be rough on themselves.
Rough.
Because they are not very tolerant of making mistakes.
Well, we see all our faults, right?
Well, of course, but the fact of the matter is, what we would say is, although you see all your faults, and you spend many hours trying to correct them, how many hours do you spend in the course of a week, or even a year, never mind a day, and looking at all of the things that you could compliment yourself on? Most people have many more things they can compliment themselves on rather than criticize themselves. But it is the focus upon those things that are wrong rather than those things that are right. And we would say to those out there, if you want to do this, start finding yourself doing things right. Start finding your friends, your partner, your children, those people that are important in your life. Find them doing things right. And when you see them doing things right, you'll realize that you and everybody else around you does things right 80 to 90% of the time. So we would say, what is the benefit of taking that remaining 10% and criticizing yourself for it, rather than turning around and asking yourself the question, how can I transform this into finding things right? Mm. You see? You have all of these wonderful tools and this supply and understanding as to who you are as an individual. Even those who would be the most self-depreciating, if they take a moment and write a list of the things that they know they're either good at or that is something that they have heard somebody else say about them. Whether they believe it or not is another matter. But by making that list and beginning to create it, it will not take long to realize the validity of one's existence. And you see, this is what it's all about. Because we would say in a smile here, an old saying from many years before this time, God don't make no junk. You see? And in this way, you would say the universe doesn't make junk. The universe, you would say, well, what about mutants? What about children who are born with their hearts outside of their bodies or their brains? What about all of these things? Isn't that not junk? And we would say, no. It is the way that individual was to be represented in consciousness, even for a fleeting moment. Because there is no real way that anyone can prove to themselves that an existence is invalid. Any existence, even if it's short-lived or even stillborn. because that existence affects everything else around it coming into the physical plane. And if it is taken in a balanced way, the existence will always be a learning experience and create for the individual or individuals concerned a higher state of consciousness and more understanding of the life process.
Because we can never see the bigger picture. That's not part of our life in this physical form. Correct?
Precisely.
Yes.
So it's a matter of becoming self-appreciating instead of self-depreciating. Mm. Yeah, and we would suggest a good way to do this is to sit down and write down all of the things that you're criticizing yourself about. Write them all down. And really give it good. And once you've written them all down, we would like you to go along that list and ask yourself, who did I learn this from? Where did I learn this? When did I learn it? Where? Ask all those questions, not why. You learned it because you had no choice. That's the why. Because you were being trained to live on this plane by those about you and circumstances. But when you begin to find out who you learned it from, where you learned it from, when you learned it, then you begin to have information that you can begin to change consciously. Because change does not occur unless you have a conscious, willful process on this physical plane to make that decision. You see?
Mm.
So this comes from self-questioning in this way, and it is a very wise way to do it. At the same time, begin to realize that many of the criticisms you hold are not of your own creation. In fact, probably if you would do this exercise with yourself, you would find none of them in that list were of your own creation. However, you supported them as if they were true.
Mm.
You can always ask yourself on each one of those questions too, how do I know this is true? And if you say, well, I've always done it this way, you can say to yourself, well, and who did you learn that from? And who did you learn how to believe that from? You see how complicated and how simple it can be at the same time. So by the time you're finished this self-examination, you'll find you're a pretty good person. And that all of the things you've been beating yourself up for were things that other people taught you over a lifetime, and then were reinforced by repeating the behavior that you were already taught. It's not too hard to do that. You human beings are very eminently trainable, shall we say. That's where ADD comes from, you see. You want to do something until it's perfect, you see.
Mm.
So from this perspective, you can begin the forgiving process. Not by saying, I'm not perfect, for nothing is perfect, you see. But what you can say is, I am enough, for now. When you say that to yourself, I am enough for now, I am enough for me, or just I am enough, it means that you are, in that moment, enough. You will have all of what you need to exist in that moment. If you didn't, you wouldn't be existing in it. And when you accept that as a valid reality for yourself, you can then release yourself from the self-criticism. One of our favorite statements to share with people about self-criticism is this. And it is true, this is a human nature, as you are trying to achieve perfectionism, we say with a smile. And perfectionism, of course, is a journey, not the goal, you see. But you would say, I always do the best I can with what I know. Would you say that is true for yourself?
I always do the best for what I know?
I always do the best I can with what I know.
Oh, okay.
You
yeah,
see?
Probably.
Yes, well, most people would agree with that, yes?
I think so.
Then you would add to that a little grandfather clause. And when I know better, I always do better.
Ah.
You see, in this way, you can't criticize yourself for something you did wrong. Because if you had known better, you wouldn't have done it.
Right.
You made the mistake. You said, well, but I keep repeating the same thing over and over again. Perhaps, but usually you do it with different people.
That's for sure.
So once you begin to do that, and you can begin to look and say, well, when I know better, I do better. Once you know what you're doing, then you can begin to look back for patterns. And this is what being on the physical plane is about, being able to take that loving, conscious mind that you have, treating yourself with love, generosity, and kindness, to go back and help you solve certain ignominious anomalies, to mince a couple of words, yes, in your life.
Right.
You see? Uh-huh. And when you begin to do that, then you can begin to forgive yourself. You can begin to look at how you can change, and you can begin to see the patterns in your life so that they begin to slowly change. Once you begin to treat yourself with love and respect in this way, once you begin to trust yourself and approve of yourself, then you can move ahead. That's what taking an experimental attitude in life is all about. Trying things without trying to judge the outcome, and certainly without trying to judge yourself within the process itself.
Okay. Well, we need to go to break. So did you want to wrap that up? I think
that's pretty well wrapped up, isn't it, now?
I would agree. Yeah. All right, we're going to go to break. You are listening to News for the Heart. We've been getting to the heart of what matters, all about love, universal love. And when we come back, we'll have David Watson back. And thank you, Boo Willows, for joining us. And we'll be right back.
A pleasure.
Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on bmajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts, over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to, as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685, and I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced, and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better, why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with bmajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. We have David Watson here with us. David is back. The Willows have gone back to their reality. We've been getting to the heart of what matters. We've been talking about love, universal love, the power of love within our life. We decided that this was going to be an introduction to love because I think this can go into many different segments. And I think we all have a sort of passionate connection with love that we all want to explore. We certainly want to know and be able to connect with the love within ourselves for sure, as always.
Well, I agree with you, and I think it's a matter of not necessarily categorizing love, but coming to understand the nature of it, because it's such a broad thing. Mm-hmm. It's the basis of our creation, of what everything's built on. You know, the foundation of consciousness. Without love, without connection, without being with somebody or something or having some, then we're completely out of touch. So that's a very interesting thing, because when we come onto this plane, we come from a plane in which we're in constant love. You know, a lot of the people who've had the in-between life experiences and the near-death experiences and, you know, the visions and those kind of things all come back and tell us the same thing. It's just love all over the place, man. It's just incredible on the other side. You know, if you knew it was this good, you wouldn't want to be staying here. But the point is, and the Willows have always said, the point of coming here in the first place is to have the emotional experience. We're here to do two things. One is to make decisions, and the other one is to have an emotional experience. So now we get to decide how we're going to feel. And if we can bring love into this and bring love into the world around us, then that really begins to cut down on a lot of the flack, a lot of the resistance that we have in living and relating to the life that we're living. That's my my feeling about it. And if we can step into that state and really understand love, it removes so much dross from our lives, so much pain, so much anger and fear and all those other things, guilt and shame, all of those things just like evaporate in the morning sun when love is applied to it in the manner in which we've been discussing things today.
Right.
And when we go into that state, it allows us to be in a more resourceful state of consciousness. So we think clearer, we act clearer, and when we act from a place of love, then how can we go wrong? You know, how can we go wrong? So that's kind of my feeling around that aspect of love consciousness. Because, you know, the other part of this is, how do we apply that in our day-to-day lives? We can talk about this wonderful love thought, you know, but I think before we got started today, and we were chatting before we began the broadcast today, I was talking about application of love,
right?
Conscious application, because this isn't something we just like feel and we get blissed out on, like we take a pill or a drug or something like that. Oh, look, man, I'm in love with the world. What it is a matter of conscious.
I wouldn't mind having some of those, though.
Oh, well, really? Well, I know this guy.
But you know someone? You know a guy?
I think everybody knows a guy or a gal. Depends on. But you know, it's yeah, that would be nice if that were true. You know, I mean, if it were true, then we would have found a love drug a long time ago. We talk about everything from MDA to what's that stuff they take today?
Ecstasy.
I
don't know if that actually.
There's so many things out there that people take, but. You know, a lot of people talk about ayahuasca and, you know, things like that. Yeah, so you can go somewhere and go into an altered state of consciousness as if that's going to be the answer. But the state of consciousness we exist within and the world we exist within is the real one. And when we take, you know, what we call, you know, power drugs and power mixtures, they can change our consciousness for short periods of time, but only, I think, as a reference point to help us get back to find out what it was like to be in original energy.
But I think that's the addiction to meditation as well. It's like if you get into those higher states, I mean, people get addicted to meditation because it makes them feel good.
Oh, we get addicted to all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, it's no different. If you can't live in that state in the now, then it really... You know, what good is it?
Well, I agree.
I'm sure there's good to it, but
you see, you're talking about something where you're in a place and you're going to another place,
right?
But you
see, isn't that what the drugs do?
Well, I don't know. That's what they tell us. But you know, if you want to go to another place right away, close your eyes.
Right.
The moment you close your eyes, you cut off like your vision, and the moment you cut your vision off, you cut off like 90% of your connection with the world around you. So automatically, you go to an altered state of consciousness. So consciousness is just, you know, whether you're taking a drug, whether you're meditating, whether you're just closing your eyes or you're sleeping, it doesn't make any difference. You're changing conscious or state of consciousness. And if it's pleasing and it brings you joy, then perhaps that's good for you. But if it doesn't take you beyond a certain state of knowingness, if it doesn't continue to elevate you and take you to a better place, you know?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, kind of like that. Like a step thing. Whenever I do that, I always think of like rice paddies on the side of a field, uh-huh. Or on the side of a hill, you know. But that's it. And as we continue to grow and as we continue to develop in that way, we get to a place of understanding who we are and what life's about, which is what all of these machinations are about, you know, whether they're drugs or meditation or just talking or sharing or praying or, you know, whatever. But the fact is that we only have what we know in the physical to work with. All of our machinations, all of our beliefs are coming from here, right here where we are.
Right.
Okay. And in that sense, what is that as a reality for us? You know, we're all talking about the other side. We're talking about universal love. I'm talking about all of those things. But how do we know if we've experienced it? You know, I mean, I've had myself like waking visions on a few occasions in my life. I had a very deep meditative experience in which I you know, humorously say, but honestly say as well, I never came back from that one. Like I stepped out and never stepped back in again. I continued on in that direction because that's what opened me up. If we don't bring onto this world those things that we bring in from meditation, those things that we bring in from contemplative processes in our lives, whether it's taking a, you know, ayahuasca in South America, or you know, taking something in a laboratory, or just going out and you know, having a nice meal, whatever it is, if we bring that into our lives and we practice it and we live it, then we're accomplishing something. Then what we're doing is we're bringing into the world the creative process that's already here. We're sharing with the world our ability to be co-creators of consciousness by bringing love and putting it into the things we are that are in our lives. It becomes self-evident. When you love your children, they become better people. When you love your home, people love to come into your house because the energy there is so beautiful. You know, when you love other people, you get to know more people. People don't put the barriers up. They don't put up the gates and the walls. They open to you and give you an opportunity to really have a greater connection, and which is what this is all about on this planet as well. And this plane, to me, is about communication as well.
Yeah, that'll be a whole other topic, I believe, and maybe that's our topic for.
Oh, I'm
next
passionate
month.
About it all. That would be great. I'd love that.
But, you know, we'll communication.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a biggie. All right. Well. Thank you, David.
My pleasure, Laurie. Thank you.
You've been listening to News for the Heart. We've been getting to the heart of what matters. And if you want to know more about David, go to his website, askthewillows.com, askthewillows.com.
Oh, and we're changing it, too. Yes.
Oh, right. It's going to be a new website soon. All yeah. right. So thank you, and we'll be back next month.
Thank you.
Have a question for Laurie and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instantfeedback@bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.